Today. What an honor and a joy to get to speak to you and share with you today. We know, I'm looking out, I see so many familiar faces, people who I love, and so I'm just so happy to be here. You know, we know many of you from the youth and family ministry, and I want to try something. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a teen camp. Woo! Let's go. That's amazing. You know, I look around and I see those raised hands, and I gotta say, I'm so inspired by your faith. You guys have been through challenges. Getting through high school, making that transition into college as a Christian is tough, but you're still here.
Come on.
Amen. Because you love Jesus.
That's right.
You know, I'm inspired by that. Some of us go way back, right? We go way, way back. Maybe I studied the Bible with you. Maybe I was there at your baptism. Very, very treasured memories. For me, and it's just great to be together with the family of believers this morning, amen?
Yep.
You know, speaking of family, Manami and I are all about building family.
Come on.
Which is why we just keep having kids.
Yeah.
All about building family. God, but seriously, God has blessed us with three beautiful children. Our daughter Emmy turned 7 this week.
What?
I'm like pinching myself. I'm like, this Saturday, my little baby girl is gonna be 7. Thor, my son, will be 5 in March.
What?
And then our baby boy Zen is almost 6 months old. Now, Thor was named in honor of my Scandinavian heritage.
All right.
And we chose the name Zen from Manami's Japanese heritage. And while both names come from our ancestors' pagan religions, I want to assure you we are 100% Christians.
Amen.
We do believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Hallelujah. We trust you.
Now, this summer, we are hosting our first Youth and Family Summer Internship since before the pandemic.
All right.
And we are fired up about that. All about youth and family ministry. We're also going to have teen and preteen young teen camp at the same location, the same week.
Wow.
All right, it's going to be a super camp. It's going to be 2 distinct camps at the same location. So it's going to be an all hands on deck kind of summer. And I do want to make a plug. We are so grateful for the connection that we have between campus and youth and family ministries.
Amen.
Whether you've been a camp counselor before or not, it may be a great thing for you to consider coming to camp to serve for a week.
Yep.
I know for me, I learned so many great leadership skills by being a preteen and young teen camp counselor. Nothing will test your faith more than having some dirty,
that's right,
I won't even say it, thrown on your bed by some of these kids. You know, some of the best ministry training I received was at summer camps.
Right.
With that, let's get into things, amen?
Amen.
I heard you guys are studying the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And I love the book of Acts. What an incredible book. It's so inspiring. Have you guys been inspired by your study of the book of Acts?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, to see the acts that have been done by faith, it's literally the title of the book is Acts. These were ordinary people, John Legend, who, through God's power, did extraordinary things. It's mind-blowing for me. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
You ever think about that? When I'm reading the Bible, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And these things really, actually happened.
Yeah.
So let's pick up in Acts 17, verse 16.
Let's go wrong.
It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. You know, Paul was traveling all over the place, telling people about Jesus. He goes from Thessalonica to Berea. You guys talked about that last week. And then he goes to Athens.
All right.
Now, ancient Athens was a city, and it was known for its art. Athenian art would often portray the exploits of the gods of the Greek pantheon. You know, like Zeus, Athena, Hermes, Apollo, Aphrodite, I could go on, but there's many Greek gods and goddesses. Fun fact, while most kids wanted to be Power Rangers or wanted to be X-Men and superheroes, when I was a kid, one year for Halloween, I dressed up as Hermes.
Hey!
And so yes, I am a nerd.
Put that
I was all about
up.
That. I did not put the picture up, but that is not for public consumption. But Athens was also known for its architecture. You can see here, ancient Greek architects, they strove for the precision and excellence in workmanship. They had tall columns, intricate detail, symmetry, harmony, and balance. They were all characteristic of Greek architecture. And some structures stand to this day, thousands of years later. Athens was actually named after the Greek goddess Athena, the goddess of wisdom and war. And so it follows that the Athenians valued wisdom. They were all about wisdom. Verse 21 says, the Athenians loved talking about and listening to the latest ideas. They were creative, intellectual, and interested in learning about new ideas. Can you think of another city known for its art, known for its architecture, where people are creative, where they're intellectual, and where they love talking about new ideas? It sounds a lot like New York City, doesn't it? We got the MoMA, we got the Met. You ever go to the MoMA, you're like, what in the world? You got the Guggenheim. We got architectural marvels, neoclassical Art Deco. I love Art Deco. Noteworthy is One Bryant Park, pictures up there, the Bank of America Tower. It's the most sustainable skyscraper in New York City. Wow. It's LEED Platinum certified, and it was the first tower in the world designed to achieve that rating. It was designed by a firm called Cook & Fox Architects, AKA your brother in Christ, Rick Cook.
Whoa.
I bet you didn't know that. And the people here love talking about ideas, don't they?
Yep.
However, just like Paul witnessed in Athens, there were a lot of idols. There are a lot of idols here in New York City. You know, what is an idol exactly? In the Bible, they were sculpted of wood and stone, gold or silver. It's easy for us to look today and laugh. I told my daughter about idolatry, and it's like people would carve these little images and bow down to them, and she's laughing like, that is so silly. Why would somebody do that? And it's easy for us to look backwards and laugh, but there are certainly idols that people worship today. Timothy Keller writes in his book, Counterfeit Gods, an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. Anything that is so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living. An idol is something that controls us, tells us what to do, something we cannot say no to. That's an idol. If there's anything I cannot say no to this, that's an idol. And with that in mind, I want to open it up because I like participation.
Come on.
What are some idols that people worship in New York that you see?
Their spouses sometimes.
What is it?
Their spouses.
Their spouses. People can worship their spouse or a relationship.
Their phone.
Worship their phone. How many times do you stand on the train or on the platform and you look down the row and everybody is just glued to their phone? Career. People idolize their career.
Money.
People idolize money. Anybody else?
Their talents.
Their talents, especially here in New York City. We see a lot of that. I think about these things. Money, power, image, talent, jobs, academia, right? Kind of like Athens, right? Our schools and these Ivy League colleges or these really great state schools that we have, City College, all these amazing schools. But again, academia and knowledge is worshipped.
Right.
People worship people.
Right.
Think about that for a second. And we got to watch the idol of people and popularity and the opinion of others. You know, we could go on. Many things people bow down to around us and talk about that. And so what was Paul's reaction to idolatry? The Bible says he was greatly distressed. NLT says he was deeply troubled. The ESV says his spirit was provoked within him. His spirit was moved. It bothered Paul to see people worshiping the wrong things. Now it's important to note this. Paul was greatly troubled, but I don't think he was anxious. And I don't think that Paul was condescending or looked at these people like, I'm so much better than you because I know about the one true God and you don't. You know, Paul was moved and he cared and he loved these people enough to talk to them. And so the Bible says that in the synagogue, in the marketplace, the agora, he started reasoning with them and talking to them. The synagogue is where you'd find the who? Anybody? Who would you? What kind of group of people would you find in the synagogue? The Jews. And the agora, the marketplace, is where you'd find who? The Gentiles, right? The Jew and the Gentile. And so Paul was an equal opportunity evangelizer. He went to wherever it took him. He went to the Jew, to the Gentile, to the synagogue, to the agora. And Paul did this because there is no one more inclusive than Jesus.
Amen. Come on.
Acts 17 verse 18 says, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So here's Paul in the marketplace trying to persuade people. You're worshiping all the wrong things, guys. You're worshiping these things that are not God. And Paul encounters Epicureans and Stoics. Anybody familiar with Epicurean philosophy? Anybody? A little bit, you said it. Philosophy. Stoics, anybody? Right? So Epicureans were materialists. They believed that everything came from atoms and particles of matter, that there was no life beyond. There was no resurrection. That all that was human returned to matter at death. Maybe today they'd be the I believe in science crowd, right? It's like, I'm concerned about your salvation. Why are you always judging me because I believe in science, right? They would be the Epicureans. The Stoics, on the other hand, so you got these two ends of the spectrum, because then you got the Stoics on the other hand, and they were pantheists as opposed to materialists. The Stoics believed that the divine could be found everywhere. So God is in everything, in this chair, in that tree, in you, in me, all over the place. They saw God as everything as a part of this divine spark. They lived by reason and logic, and they put great stock into self-sufficiency. To the Stoic, there was no transcendent, omniscient being standing outside of nature. God was kind of everywhere, but there wasn't this idea of a God over his creation who created it. You know, and so these people call Paul a what? A babbler.
All right.
They are throwing shade at Paul. Insulting him. The Greek word he used here literally means, what is this seed spitter trying to say? This was a barnyard term. Anybody called you a seed spitter before? Like a big mouth of the sunflower seeds, and you're like talking to some, just like talking out your mouth with seeds. It's a barnyard term that evoked images of a bird, a chicken, pecking indiscriminately at seeds, just pecking and just spitting out random spewing stuff. For those of you who have seen Moana, think, hey, hey, the chicken. That's messed up. They're like, what is this chicken talking about? You ever felt like this before? Maybe on your college campus?
Yeah.
While you're sharing your faith? Or maybe when you post a scripture in your story on Instagram and someone responds to it in a negative way? You know, maybe when you're mentioning a campus ministry event on your story or trying to invite somebody to come to something. And have you ever gotten, you're trying to share your faith with somebody and someone throws some shade your way? Like Paul here. Maybe people look down on you intellectually. How could you believe those fairy tales?
Right.
How could you believe that stuff? Don't you know we're in 2023? Aren't you in college? Don't you realize that that's not how it works? And haven't you, you know, read the science? You know, what is this silly idea you're trying to talk to me about, you seed spitter? You know, if we're honest, these things can discourage us and we can shrink back and not talk to people about who God is.
Right.
And here's what's amazing about Paul. He didn't care about what people thought of him. He was all about God. So he gets invited to a bigger meeting called the Areopagus. It was both a place and a meeting. They identified it with this group of people that would meet. And Paul is an OG. Listen to what he says, because Paul is gangster. Paul comes up in there and he just slices them, right? He's like a ninja. Verse 22, it says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. By the way, agnosto, unknown. Think about what that means, right? Anybody heard something, I'm agnostic? Unknown. It's like, well, you don't really know God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Continuing in verse 26, from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. Ignorance.
Wow.
But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. You know, the Athenians had all these other gods they worshipped. Yet their polytheism was proof of their ignorance. Paul was pointing out of their ignorance, Paul's pointing out of their ignorance takes on a greater meaning when you realize where he was and who he was talking to. Because Athenians who worshipped Athena, the goddess of wisdom, is who he's talking to. And Paul has some guts to say, you guys are ignorant. Mm. You think you're wise, you're ignorant. You guys are ignorant. And I love this. He says, what you don't know, I am going to proclaim to you. Mm. See, just like Paul, we get to proclaim who God is.
Yep.
What a joy, what an honor. We don't have to go around talking about who God is not.
Right.
All the things he's not like. We talk about who God is.
Come on, Ross.
Yeah.
You know, so many people out there are worshiping all kinds of different things. And we see it, right? Day in and day out what they worship.
Yeah.
Things that will never truly satisfy. And we know that God is the one true living God.
Amen, Ross.
We can proclaim the good news. What is the good? I think we forget as Christians sometimes. Guys, it's good news.
Yeah.
The gospel is still good news. The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life, died for our sins, mine and yours, on the cross, and rose from the dead. The good news is that in Christ, all of our sin is forgiven. We are justified. That means just as if I'd never done it.
Mm-hmm.
Each day is a fresh start, and that's the good news, mm-hmm. right? Amazing grace.
Amen.
Grace is amazing.
Yeah.
That's the good news, that one day we will rise again to eternal life. Who else has that confidence and that knowledge? We are going to heaven to be with God forever.
Right.
Not because of what we've done. Actually, in spite of what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of what we've done, not because of our perfect record, but because of God.
Come on, Ross.
And his great love for us. See, Paul didn't let their name calling and insults stop him from spreading the gospel. Mm-hmm. Here's what's key. Think about this. Who was Paul? Paul was a Jew from Tarsus. That's pretty far away from Athens. And he's talking to Greeks, Gentiles, in Athens. A Jew speaking to Gentiles. And see, look, he intentionally spoke into their culture. He compliments them, right? He starts off, I mean, he says, look, I see in every way you're very religious, right? You ever have to do that with somebody? Like, hey, I see that you really are interested in learning about new things, right? And he compliments them. Even these ideas that he brings up to them, you know, I learned some things. It's interesting because this idea that God does not live in temples and doesn't need people to serve him. You know, I learned the Epicureans and the Stoics, they would have actually agreed with this.
Hmm.
Yes, they did worship these gods in the temples, but especially the Stoics would have believed, yes, God is not in a temple. God is everywhere.
Hmm.
Maybe the Stoics might have had the Epicureans a little bit of a different idea. But again, he was bridge building in his communications with them. He was trying to build on something they would understand and grasping for how can I talk to them in terms that I can communicate the gospel to them in their world, in their language.
Yeah.
Notice he doesn't use any scriptures. Does Paul use a scripture? No. Paul actually uses their own poets and philosophers to communicate the idea. You know, this quote, in him we live and move and have our being, is the Cretan philosopher Epimenides. I'm sure you guys, all of us knew that, yes?
No.
And then this quote, we are his offspring. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. That's the Cilician Stoic philosopher, Aratus. And so Paul's point was not about, hey, you guys are, he's saying there's not many gods, there's one God.
Right.
And that is what Paul was trying to tell them. His point was that there's one God, not many, and that that one God is the creator who stands above all creation. Mm. What about us today? How can we bring the gospel into other cultural contexts? All of us have grown up in a unique culture and beautiful cultures, but how can we bring it to other people who maybe didn't grow up in the same culture that we did, or don't know the things we know? How can we communicate in their terms? How can we speak a language that people around us will understand and relate to?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's like this. You can talk to somebody and say, hey, as some of your own poets have said, God's plan is for you to have a relationship with him. As some of your own poets have said, Jesus is king. So you should do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
As some of your own poets have said, they didn't believe in us, but
God did.
God, okay. God believes in you, Chris.
Let's go, Chris.
You know, all jokes aside, Paul was a bridge builder, which is what it takes to address cultures other than our own. He understood these other cultures and then spoke into them. And what was Paul's point to the Athenians? His point was that we are all God's offspring. He was trying to help them understand. He was trying to help them perceive.
Yeah.
He's trying to help them to get a concept that they were not currently grasping. To perceive who they are in relation to the Creator. To see themselves through God's eyes. The New American Commentary says, no text in Acts has received more scholarly attention than the 10 verses of Paul's speech before the Areopagus. Mm. This is one of the most studied verses, and Paul, the way he constructs it, is logical, and it's like an argument that he's building, and it's incredible, right? And so these 10 verses are amazing. They actually form what's called a chiasm. Anybody, it's not just the BX. It's a chiasm, you know, a chiasm. And so what this is that the first and last verses are like layers in a sandwich, and as you move in, the point is in the middle.
Right.
And that's what the point of his whole thing that he's trying to say is. And so in the middle of all of it is verse 27, which says this, that God has put people where he put them and when he put them so that they would seek him. And I want to encourage you this morning. You are a child of God. You are God's offspring. That is the message that Paul was giving back at that time, and that is the same message. The message has not changed. You are a child of God. You are created by a loving creator. Good to see you guys. How is everybody? Welcome. You are a child of God. You are a child of God.
Start over, yeah.
Oh yes, back from the very beginning. You know, you're created by a loving creator who wants you to know who he is.
Yeah.
And wants you to know who you are.
Right.
For all of us who have repented and been baptized into Christ, we are forgiven.
Come on, Ross.
You are forgiven. Not a little bit, not 50%, not 99%, 100% forgiven. No. You're under grace. You're redeemed. It means you were purchased back. You have been bought back with the blood of Jesus. Praise God. You know, it's important that we remember who we are and whose we are.
Mm.
I think about my children. You know, I love my kids, not because of what they can do. In fact, a lot of times they make my life a little bit more difficult. And there's quite a few extra things I have to do. I'm like getting things done, and then it's like, Daddy, I spilled this, or Daddy, I did that, or Daddy, I need this, I'm hungry, right? I love them, but not because of what they can do, but because of who they are. They are my kids, and that's why I love them. You know, our baby Zen, he cannot do anything for himself, like anything at all. He can't even eat on his own, right? He can't earn my love, and he can't do anything for me to love him less.
Yeah.
I love him so much. In a lot of ways, my kids create more challenges for me. You know, one of these big challenges was this past fall, our baby got RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. I had never even heard of this before. I never even knew it was an issue, but it was going around in the schools. A lot of older siblings were getting it and giving it to younger siblings. Mm. And so Zen got RSV. He was in the ICU for a week in the fall. You know, he was on life support, literally, hooked up to machines to help him breathe. I remember one morning just crying in the hospital because I thought he might not make it. Like, they were saying, he's not out of the woods. He needs to turn a corner, and if he doesn't, he's not going to survive this. And I was faithful, and I'm faithful, and you hear that, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And see, I remember just crying, trying to look at scriptures. And I think about how God is a loving Father, weeping for us, caring for us. When we hurt, He hurts with us.
Come on, Ross.
When we fall, He wants to help us get back up and live for Him because you're His children.
Right.
And fathers don't give up on their children.
Yeah.
You know, if that's how much I love my kids, God loves you a million times more than that. It's like, that's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. It's like, who of you, if your son asks for a fish or a loaf of bread, would give him a bad thing, right? God wants to give us good things. God loves you a million times more. You know, it helps me to remember this because sometimes I get caught up in a performance-based Christianity. Where I'm trying so hard not to sin. The gospel of sin management. You ever heard of that before? Like, I'm just going to try real hard not to sin.
Right.
And that gets exhausting.
Right.
Trying so hard to be perfect, to say the right thing all the time, to do the right thing all the time. And we can feel value based on what we do or what we don't do. You know, how many people we've helped to become a Christian. We have to be wary of performance-based Christianity.
Amen.
Because we are not saved by what we do. We're saved by grace through faith. See, when people understand who God is and when people understand who they are, the natural order of things, Paul knew this, that if I can get them to understand that they're God's offspring, they're going to want to get to know their daddy. Because that's what you want to do when you know who your dad is.
Right.
And there's so many people, it leads us to seek God. There's so many people out there searching. We sang a great song earlier, Good, Good Father. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. I'll tell you about a few of them. Our brother Ron, he's a record label executive at Def Jam Records.
Come on.
You know, he's discovered many artists that you probably love and listen to. He's one of the artists Ron discovered. His name is Pop Smoke. And before he was famous, Pop Smoke slept on Ron's couch. That's what Ron does, is he finds people and they live at his house while they're making their records and he helps them get record deals. 15 years ago, he came to church because of an ex-girlfriend who became a disciple and she had invited him. And so he would come on and off to the Brooklyn region. He, you know, came on and off, but he had everything in the world. And so he'd start to study the Bible, then he'd go back. Then he'd start, then he'd go back. Fast forward, Ron got cancer. And it hit him like a ton of bricks. You know, he had a life or death moment in the hospital where he's in this waiting room about to go into surgery. They make him sign a piece of paper that says, if you don't make it out of this, then it's not our fault. And he said, God, if you get me through this, I know where I'm going, who I'm talking to, and what I'm going to do. And shortly after, he studied the Bible. He became a Christian. He got baptized in 2021.
Amen.
Ricardo is a Uruguay. I learned to say it the right way. I would say Uruguay. Uruguay is so boring. He learned to speak English on his own by reading poetry.
Wow.
He's one of the most poetic people I know. And so one day I'm just sitting there and I get a text from a guy named Ricardo saying he wants to learn about God. I mean, he's like, I'm like, where in the world is this coming from? People will just come out of the woodwork and they find me. And so his sister in his music program told him to contact me to learn about God. And so he studied the Bible and he got baptized. He comes from a difficult situation in his home country. And his story, too long for me to tell you now, but miraculous. How he, where he's come from, where he is now. And so we were out celebrating his birthday, and now as a disciple, you know, he got baptized, we're out with a bunch of close friends, all Christians, celebrating, and he looks at me with a tear in his eye, and he says, you know, Ross, I always wanted a family, and now I have one.
Wow, amen.
He understands the gospel.
Come on.
Recently, he auditioned for the Metropolitan Opera. He's a beautiful, got a beautiful voice, opera singer. The first person from his country ever, from Uruguay, to audition for the Metropolitan Opera. Mark's dad was there with him right before the audition, and amazing. And finally, Gabriel found our church online.
Come on.
And he just walked into the Big Apple Church. He comes in, and we just start talking and start hanging out. He works for the Tamron Hall Show on ABC. And he said he wanted to get anchored to God before his career takes off, because he's like, I know it's only a matter of time. You know, he got pulled into our community, started singing at our talent shows, You know, we got him bringing food to our Cinco de Mayo party. And now he has an anchor for his soul. He was baptized into Christ in January.
Come on, yeah.
These are just a few of many examples of people who are seeking God. Yeah. This city is full of people seeking God. They want to know Christ.
Yep.
You know, because God has placed the desire to know him in every person he's created. I admire Paul because he took himself out of the picture. He could have got stuck there and said, man, they're calling me babbler, they're calling me seed spitter. I'm not going to talk to these people, right? But it wasn't about him. It was about God and helping others. I want to sing a song Manami's going to sing with me because this song just fits so well with this. But, you know, it wasn't about him. It was about God helping others. Paul wanted people to see nobody but Jesus. It reminds me of a song that I love. We're going to sing it for you. It's called Nobody But Jesus.
Let's go, Mission Cops.
All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line, with all the other not quites, with all the navigator rides. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Since you rescued me and gave my heart a song to sing, I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed your world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. Me, right? That's what that song makes me think of, and it makes me think of Paul. I'm a servant of Christ. I want people to know about him. Paul was living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. It gave him courage and it gave him compassion. All we can do is show people Jesus. We cannot control people's responses. Right. Verse 32 says, some people sneered when Paul spoke about the resurrection of the dead, while others wanted to hear more. And the same is true for us today. Some will sneer, but others will hear.
Right.
When we proclaim who God is and perceive who we are, when we see ourselves and others through God's eyes, that we are his offspring, he will take care of the rest. Let us worship God, the one true living God, our Heavenly Father, who alone is worthy of our praise. Amen. Love you guys. Great to be together.